Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
I felt the Lord leading me to talk about hearing God and following God. You know, Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus did not come to make us into believers, but rather into disciples. Do you know what the word disciple literally means? What a disciple really is? The word literally means one who is being taught. That's what it means to be a disciple, is that you are being taught. Who are we being taught by? God. To follow God means that you are being taught by Him and you are learning from Him. And this is more than just reading your Bible every day. This is really having intimacy with God to the point that you actually know what God wants you to do, what God is saying to you. The word disciple only appears one time in the Old Testament. I want to read this to you because, in a sense, this was a foreshadowing of what God wanted to do with His disciples. You notice in the Old Testament, the word disciple is never used except for this one time. But in the New Testament, it's a constant theme. Disciple, 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 one who is being taught. But here's what it says in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 50, verse 9. It says, the servant of God says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." How many people want to be able to speak a word to someone who is weary? A word that comes right in season. Well, in order to be useful, we could say this is all ministry. All ministry is really speaking a word in season or somehow helping a person. Here's what he says. He says, "He waketh me morning by morning. He waketh my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is being taught." In other words, the Holy Spirit is really holding class every day. And He's trying to teach you every day. And the question is, are you listening? The question is, do you even know how to listen? And so that's what this message is about. It's about how we can be authentic disciples by learning how to cultivate an ability to hear. It says, "He waketh my ear." In other words, my ear normally just hears natural things. It doesn't hear spiritual things. And there has to be an awakening. A disciple is a learner. And that means it is one who understands or one who knows how to hear. So how do we hear God? The first principle of hearing God is this: surrender. How many people know you have a will? How many people know you have an inner voice that is always telling you what to do, what you think you should do, whatever? We have a way, we have an inner thing. This must be surrendered. In other words, God is not going to take control of your life. God is not going to lead your life. You're not going to be able to follow Him until you are completely surrendered. So the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans appeals to every single Christian. And if he was standing here today, he would be appealing to you. He would be saying, "I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you might present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." How many people know that in the Old Testament, they made sacrifices twice a day? Twice a day, there was a sacrifice. There was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. This is an image of sacrifices that the believer makes. How many times should you make a sacrifice of your body, according to Paul? Daily. And matter of fact, it's not a bad idea to say, "I will do this even twice a day." See, the idea of presenting your body means this: you must show up. Where do you have to show up? You have to show up at an altar. And an altar for Jewish people is the place where you come to surrender. When they brought an animal onto the altar, you know what they used to do? They used to tie it up. Why would they tie up the animal? They don't want to get away. You know what? You might have to tie yourself up spiritually. You might have to tie yourself up to a place of surrender to God, in which you shut off your cell phone, you stop checking your email messages, you stop the television, you do everything, and you just come to a place, an altar, in your office, in your home, someplace where you present yourself. You present your body as what? A living sacrifice. Something that is alive. The word holy means you've separated yourself. And the idea of separation means that you've kind of blocked off the rest of the world and you've brought yourself to a place of surrender. An altar is a place where something surrenders. Do you know what else an altar is? An altar is a place of transformation. That's why the Apostle Paul talks about this verse of Scripture in the context of transformation. He says, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, you have got to break yourself off from all your conformity to this world. This world is trying to squeeze you into a mold. And you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, at an altar, there was a fire, and the fire took something that was natural, that is to say, the flesh, and it transformed it into what? Into a vapor, into smoke. And the smoke would rise into heaven, and that idea is that something that was fleshly now becomes spiritual. What needs to become spiritual? According to the Apostle Paul, your mind. Your mind, from the time you were born, has been conformed to the way of the world. And now, at this place of sacrifice and surrender, God says, now you transform your mind. In other words, by this ultimate total surrender, by you laying your life upon the altar, what is going to happen to you as you come here is that the fire of God is going to fall and is going to begin to consume what is the hay and the stubble of your life, and it is going to begin to renew your mind. Why do you need this to happen? Why do you need this transformation that's caused by holy fire of surrender? Why? Look at what it says next. That by the testing, you may discern the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, there's no way you can know what God wants for your life. There's no way you can know what's good. There's no way you can know what's acceptable. There's no way you can know what's perfect unless you go through this transformation. See, show me some worldly-minded Christians, and I will show you Christians that have no idea what God wants. Their mind is completely worldly. It's completely carnal. They have no way of comprehending God. But show me a Christian who is constantly bringing himself to an altar and totally surrendering his will and surrendering his life and saying, God, not my will, but thy will be done. I want transformation of this mind. And I will show you a person who can begin to discern the will of God. If you will not do this, if you will not bind yourself to an altar of surrender, do not expect to know what the will of God is. It's impossible. Because the will of God requires a transformed mind, and the transformed mind only happens as you surrender at an altar of fire. That would be the starting point. The second thing is something that Paul also prayed, is that once you brought yourself to a place of surrender, that you might experience what he called an enlightenment, or having the eyes of your heart enlightened. What does this mean? How many people know your heart has eyes? That there's a spiritual wisdom, a spiritual understanding that comes. Listen to how the Apostle Paul prayed. He says, what he's saying is, every day I pray this prayer for you. He says, I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation. How many people want a spirit of wisdom and of revelation? In the knowledge of Him. How does this come? This comes through prayer. It comes through no other way. Paul says, I pray for you that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him. Listen, having the eyes of your heart enlightened that you might know what is the hope of your calling. In other words, you have no idea what God has called you to. You have no idea what God wants to do for you on this planet unless you have been enlightened by a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm going to use the Old Testament because the Old Testament is a way that the Jewish people drew near to God. And the first thing they had to do was make a sacrifice. They put this animal that represented them upon an altar to be consumed. But the next thing that they did was they got into a place where they could begin to comprehend God. The idea of the temple or the tabernacle was a place where God would speak to his people. And we're told that we are now the tabernacle, or that we are now the temple or tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. So let me show it to you this way. God says, here's how you must draw near to me. Here's how you will come to know my will and know my ways. First, there is the altar of sacrifice. Paul puts this in play in the book of Romans. He says we still have to present our bodies as they used to present an animal. We have to lay on this altar, total surrender, and there's a transformation. Smoke goes up to heaven, a consuming of our flesh, and now we become spiritually minded. There's a connection between us and heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. There is a bringing down by a surrender of the mind. Next, once this was done, then the priest could take the blood and go into this place. Now, the Lord commanded that in this place there be no natural light. In other words, this place could not be lit by the sun. The sun represents, in a sense, common grace. The world can see by the sun. The people of Israel can see by the sun. But if you're going to commune with God, the light that you need is not external light, it's internal light. Paul says there is an illumination of the heart. I love this because the priest, how many people know you're a priest now? The Bible says we are a royal priesthood. We are to offer sacrifices. We start with surrender, but then we go into this. And I don't want to go into great detail here, but again, everything in the Old Testament was given to us as a biblical shadow of a New Testament reality. If we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then all of this means something. If we're now the temple, then this here is a shadow of our hearts more than anything. This is where God illuminates the heart. When Paul says you need to have eyes, spiritual eyes, enlightening you, these lights here in the Old Testament, these were referred to as the eyes of God. The eyes of God. So in a sense, we have inner illumination in our hearts with the eyes of God. So, but here's what I want to show you. This is an illumination for ministry. On the day of Pentecost, we're told that the Holy Spirit came and it rested upon them like fire. They were able to do ministry because they were given an external lighting of their lives. But this was just the beginning, because they were told to go from this holy place into this place, which is called the Holy of Holies. This right here. And this is where God would speak. See this? This light here, this light comes from this candle. And this candle is oil on fire. And where did this fire come from? Well, according to the Bible, that this fire came from the altar, and the altar was lit from heaven. When the altar was dedicated, the temple was dedicated, fire fell from heaven, and it was supernatural fire that lit the altar. This is a supernatural fire. But this is a different kind of light. When they went from this room, they would go into this room, and this room here had a new light. This light is Shekinah. The Bible calls it Shekinah glory. So this one kind of light out here, one kind of light in here, and this light here is Shekinah. This is directly from heaven. And the Bible tells us that Christ is in us. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is in us. The Bible tells us that we are now the temple, so we have a Shekinah holiness in us. And it's this inward holiness that allows us to hear God. You could not hear God unless you had the inward holiness. These lights, wisdom and revelation. But then, when you went into the next place, you experienced something different. The Apostle Paul alludes to this in 2 Corinthians. He says, "Behold, we all with unveiled faces are now beholding the glory of the Lord." What he's referring to here is when Moses went into the Holy of Holies. He experienced the glory of the Lord. Paul is saying now we all are experiencing the glory of the Lord. And we are being what? Look at the word here. We're being transformed. You're transformed in a sense, to a certain degree, in the first place that you go to here, the transformation of your mind. But in here, there's another degree of transformation, and it really happens as a transformation of your heart. But the whole idea of the sacrifice was that there would be a greater transformation. Transformation number one, transformation number two. Paul says this. He says, you are beholding the glory of the Lord, and you are being transformed into His image, listen, from one degree of glory to another. In other words, as you experience more glory, the first state of glory, and then you move into holy. Holy is the second state of glory. You are actually just becoming transformed into the image of Christ. How many people have been in your Holy of Holies? How many people have heard God? You know, we say this, God spoke to my heart. Well, when we really authentically mean that, God spoke to my heart, that's what we mean. That we have been in the Holy of Holies, and there God has spoken, because that's what He did. In this case scenario, let me go here. In this case scenario, here's the Shekinah, and we're told in the Old Testament that the voice of God would speak right through this opening. The two angel seraphims were right here, and the voice of God would come right out of here. And that is, again, the shadow of the internal New Testament reality that God internally is speaking to our hearts in the Shekinah glory. How many people are hearing this voice? You know why we don't hear this voice? And I'm glad some of you raised your hands. It's because it's noisy. The world is noisy. See, remember Elijah, he heard God speak, and it was a still small voice. And sometimes you have got to really get quiet, and you really got to make this journey, and you really got to get to that holy place, and then you go from that holy place, and you get really intimate with God, and you sit quietly, and there you hear Him speak. I pray this for the church, because if we don't have this, I don't know how we're going to go on. Paul says this in the book of Hebrews. Actually, it might not have been Paul who wrote the book of Hebrews. It could have been Peter, but some people believe it could be Paul or Peter. He says this, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. What is the throne of grace? It is the Holy of Holies. That's the mercy seat. That's where God sat. Draw near to the mercy of grace that you might receive what? Mercy and grace to help in your time of need. We're to make this journey into the Holy of Holies that we might receive mercy, number one, and number two, grace. What is grace? Grace is God's ability. Grace is God's enabling. And when do we need this? In our time of need. I pray that we are taking that journey. Sometimes God uses dreams and visions. And He uses dreams and... How many people have had dreams and visions that you know are from the Lord? Hopefully some of you have. I just explained the dream that I had earlier. I'm an old man now, so I'm going to get dreams. That's what the Bible says. It says, in the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall have visions. What do the old men get? Dreams. That's because they're always sleeping. They're always taking naps. I like to take a nap now and then. I sometimes when I'm napping, I say, God, speak to me in my dreams. I'm an old man, getting older. But when I was a young man, I used to get visions. Matter of fact, I can't say I used to get visions. I only got one vision. I want to explain it to you a little bit because I want to tell you how God operates because it's important. I don't tell this to you for my own sake. I tell this to you for your sake because God wants to speak. I was about 23. And I was kneeling down and I was praying. And I was a youth pastor in an Assembly of God church. And I was praying. And I had a vision, an open vision. You say, well, what is an open vision? Well, an open vision is what Peter had. Remember, Peter was praying in the sixth hour. And there, the Bible says he fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens open. So as I was praying, it was almost like I went into a trance. It was like an open vision. And in this vision, it was so astounding. I've only had, I think, maybe two of these, and this is one of the ones I remember so vividly. And in this vision, I'll try to explain to you. I saw a giant building, very tall building, and I saw a wave come out of the Atlantic Ocean, and it slammed into this building. And I didn't know what that meant exactly, but there was a wave that slammed into the building. And then I looked, and I saw an island, and I saw three antennas rising out of this island. And then the Lord said to me, I want you to call Atlantic City to repentance. And I want you to do it in the city of Ocean City. And I saw these three antenna towers, and I knew that they represented like radio stations. And I knew there would be this call to repentance, Ocean City to Atlantic City. And I woke up out of this trance, and I said, call Atlantic City to repentance, radio stations, buildings getting hit didn't make any sense to me. But for 17 years, I waited and waited and waited and waited, and I knew at some point there would be some involvement that I would have in something. And 2 days before 9/11, I'm walking my dog, internal voice, hear the Lord say, I want you to do something for me. And I said, what is that? And he says, I want you to go on radio. I said, Lord, I'm just walking my dog. I mean, whatever you're talking about, go on radio. You don't just go on radio. He said, no, I want you to go on radio. And I said, Lord, you understand that I'm not going to put a lot of effort into this. You want me to do it, I'm willing to do it, but I'm not putting any effort into this. The next day, I believe, 9/11 took place. In this vision, what I saw was a large building being hit by a wave. And in the Bible, the ocean or the sea is judgment. That's why in heaven there are no more seas, because there is no more judgment. But a sea is always an indication that something is being judged. And I saw this building being judged. And again, now the manifestation is happening 17 years later. And so it's the day after 9/11, and somebody's talking to me. I'm on the phone with somebody, and they were asking me about future plans. And I said, well, I think I need to go on radio. And he says, well, that's interesting, because I'm very close friends with the program director of a radio station in Ocean City, and they're looking for a program director. And to make a long story short, a week after 9/11, I was hired to be a program director in Ocean City. Just happened. Just came together. Just to make matters more interesting, there are only three radio stations in Ocean City. Three radio stations in Ocean City this time, and all three of them are Christian. What am I telling you? I am telling you that when God gives you a vision or God gives you a dream, He brings it to pass. It doesn't always happen the way you think it's going to happen, but the idea is that God has a plan, and sometimes He speaks to us through dreams and visions, and many times He'll speak to us just in the innermost parts of our heart. But a lot of you are going, well, that's interesting for you, Pastor, because, you know, you're kind of a nut, and I can understand that. But we're just normal people going about our normal lives, and we don't have like 8 hours to spend in prayer, and you know, we're not called into ministry. So let me give you some practical steps in hearing God in your own life. And I'm just going to give you some practical steps here. If you want to know what God wants for your life, here's some practical stuff. Number one, always and always and always, it's only going to begin when you start praying, when you start calling out to God. Because here's your responsibility. Your responsibility is Romans 12. Surrender your will. Surrender your life. God, what do you want me to do? God, here's my body. Here's my life. I lay it down. God, it's yours. Do what you want. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are moving to and fro across the whole earth. He's looking for a heart that is His. He's looking for a heart that's completely His, that is surrendered. If you will be that person that says, I surrender to you, then God will begin to move. But then, there's two prayers that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. What I would recommend you doing practically is praying Romans 12, 1 and 2, looking at Paul's prayers in Ephesians and trying to pray those prayers daily, because those prayers are all about what I'm talking about here. Hearing God, understanding His purposes. And then the second thing I would say in conjunction is relax. Relax. Why? Because here's what I want to tell you, and this is so important, you have to hear this. Your responsibility in hearing God is two things. Desire to hear God, want to hear God, and then surrender and say, God, when you do speak, and I know you will speak because you tell me you'll speak, I will surrender to that. So your thing is simply desire and surrender. Desire and surrender. What is God's job? He figures out how to communicate. He will figure out how to communicate to you. And then finally, He will then perform it. You don't have to figure out how God will talk to you. You don't have to figure out how He will lead you. You don't have to figure out how is it going to get done. All you have to do is desire and surrender. Desire and surrender. Desire and surrender. God will then communicate and perform. Do you want that? I believe there's a lot of people in here that want that. And there's some people in here going to walk out and say, that's a nice message. Let me get on with my life. I don't know how you could live a Christian life like that. To me, the most exciting thing about being a Christian is being a disciple. That is to say, every day I want to be taught. Every day I want to learn something new from the Holy Spirit. Every day I want to daily surrender to God. I want to say, God, whatever you want. Every day I want to eagerly seek God in prayer for His wisdom and His revelation. I want this. And every day I say, God, I'm open to you speaking through dreams and visions. I want what you want on this earth. I'm only here to serve you. The only reason I'm here is because you desired me to be here. And the only reason you desired me to be here is because you have a plan for me. And the only thing I care about is fulfilling that plan. Is that your heart? I pray you're not just a believer, one who would say, Lord, Lord. Didn't we do all the Christian things we were supposed to do? And God would say, I didn't know you. You never spent time with me. You never surrendered at an altar. You never spent deep hours in prayer. And finally, there is a sense of humility. I must decrease and He must increase. That's what John said. I want you to close your eyes with me, and I just want you to get into a place in which it's just you and God. And I want you to be like Isaiah. When Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me. I pray when you get to heaven that you will hear the words, good and well done, my faithful servant. That you will actually on this earth have taken on the position of being a servant. To serve God's wills and desires. Father, I pray for the congregation. I pray for these people that are in front of me. I pray, Lord God, that they would desire to draw close to you. But I also pray, Father, that you would keep the enemy far from them. And, Lord, that they will not grow discouraged. But they will learn how to desire and surrender, but then relax. Desire and surrender, and then relax. And allow you to communicate and allow you to fulfill your word to them. What are you going through today? God has an answer for you. What's happening in your life? God has an answer for you.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. Our church is located in Shepton, Pennsylvania. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.